Good morning, Mountain View. How are you doing today? All right. Hey, listen, I want to tell you that coming up on Friday night, August the 29th, we're having our another great date experience. And we encourage you to sign up today because today is the last day that you'll be entered into a drawing to win free stuff for that date. And I don't know about you, but I love free stuff. In fact, my motto is, if it's free, it's for me. But I have changed it a little bit lately. Now it is, if it's free, I'll take three. Make sure you sign up today. It's the last day to be entered in that drawing. All right, so over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the floods or the times of crisis or just moments of problems and struggle in our life. And all of us in here today, we know that none of us is immune to having these type of struggles. We've all had them or we're currently in them. Or we all know that we're going to face them at some time in our life. We don't like them when they come, but at least we expect them because we know they're just a part of life. But what happens when the flood won't go away? What happens when the problem or this struggle or this crisis just lingers? And every day you wake up just hoping to see some sort of sunshine. Every day you're looking for just some sort of ray of hope, but yet the water's still there, and it seems like it's rising by the moment. What do you do? What do you do? Well, let me catch you up to this point in the story. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us that Noah is a righteous man living in a very unrighteous world. In fact, it says society has become so wicked and so decayed to the point of God just, he chooses to start over. And he chooses Noah to start over with. He's a man of integrity. He's righteous. He's upright. He does what is right. So he's going to be a man that they're going to start civilization over with. And I think most of you are somewhat familiar with this story. Noah is to build an ark that's going to sustain his family and one pair of animals from each animal classification. He's also to bring seven pairs of birds and seven pairs of clean animals that will be used as an offering to God. It's going to rain for 40 days, it's going to rain for 40 nights, and everything on earth will be destroyed. Everything. He has about 70 years to build this massive boat, and all the while he's being mocked, he's being ridiculed by his peers, by his friends, by his family. They had never seen rain, and here is a man building a boat to protect them from rain. But Noah is a man of integrity, and the Bible says he comes from a long line of people with integrity. So it tells us that he did everything exactly as God commanded while preaching God's grace to a world that was facing imminent destruction. Then it comes time for Noah to enter the ark. And after 7 days of waiting, nothing. And then the Bible says it rains, and it rains, and it rains. And it rains. And everything is destroyed. Everything. Just like God said it would. But the waters didn't recede immediately. In fact, the last verse of chapter 7 says the flood waters were on the earth for 150 days. So every day for 150 days, Noah would wake up and he'd look outside the window and he'd say, Today is the day. Is today the day we start this new destiny that God has got in store for our future? Is today the day that we finally fulfill the promise that God made to us? And it was nothing but water, signs of destruction, and the smell of death everywhere. So it wasn't just having the flood come that overwhelmed him. Now the flood's not going away. And there's many of you in here today, and you're facing illnesses. And you're having financial crisis, or you're having relational struggles, and they've been ongoing for days. Maybe even months. And unfortunately, for some of you in here today, they've been lasting for years. And you know from personal experience that, hey, the rain is the easy part. I mean, anyone can weather a storm for a few moments. But the real test of character is when the water stays. The real test of a person's character is when the crisis won't go away and there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. And here is why this is so important that we make the right decisions during these moments of crisis. It's because the decisions that we make today determine our destiny for tomorrow. And every little decision that we make in a time of crisis or in a struggle, every little decision that we make will either make us or it'll break us. And there's some of you in here today, and you're so afraid of making the wrong decision that your heart and your mind becomes so flooded with stress and so paralyzed with fear that you can't make any decision. And sometimes making no decision is actually worse than making the wrong decision. So how do you know what decision that you should make in a time of crisis? How do you know God's will for you in this moment, in this struggle, in this time of turmoil? I want you to turn with me in Genesis chapter 8. And here in chapter 8, Noah is in the middle of the flood. And Noah's got a big decision to make. When is it be time for me to walk through this door and to start the new life that God has in store for me? And I love how chapter 8 begins. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the livestock with him in the boat. God remembers Noah. See, when you're going through a flood or you're going through a crisis or any type of struggle in your life, it's very, very easy to assume that God has forgotten you. But I want you to know something right here in this moment, the same way that God remembered Noah, I want you to know that God has not forgotten about you. That God knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing today. He even knows you by name. And the Bible says he even knows how many hairs on your head. And I know what you're thinking. Well, that's not much for you, Pastor Daniel. That's easy. Yeah, laugh all you want to. Make fun of me. It's okay. God only made a few perfect heads. The rest he put hair on. But do you know how he knows how many hairs that you have on your head? Because he's close to you. You can't see how many hairs somebody's got on their head from a distance. He remembers you because he's right close to you. And you need to know that right now, in this moment, God has not forgotten you. And as we've established over the last few weeks, he's going to use this crisis to develop your character. Because your character has to match your calling. And Noah's calling was huge. The Bible was going to use, or God was going to use him and his boys to repopulate the earth and start an entire new system of living. That calling is massive. And we need to know that when God puts you in an ark, in a time of a flood, in a time of crisis, God puts you there because he's protecting you and he's preparing you. So it could be that while you are waiting on God, God is waiting on you. And he is waiting for your character to match up to his calling upon your life. So don't be discouraged when the floods don't go away. Just remember that God remembers you by preparing you for what he has in store for you. Let me say that again. God remembers you by preparing you for what he has in store for you. Let's read verse 2. The underground waters stopped flowing. And torrential rains from the sky were stopped, so the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth after 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began. The boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. So here's Noah. And he and his family had been on this boat for 7.5 months. When the boat finally comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Now you'll notice it doesn't say the mountain of Ararat. It says the mountains of Ararat, which is modern day Turkey. And what's been interesting is I was just studying through the book of Noah and just some history about it. I found out that the ark has actually been mentioned as being seen in this area by the historian Josephus as early as AD 50. In fact, Marco Polo. All right, you guys are paying attention. Marco Polo mentioned in 1269 that he saw it in this exact area. And in 2003, the U.S. government released images of something that looks like a boat at this exact spot of all these other previous sightings. Now, the problem with anything being definitive in this area is because it's controlled by really a lawless group of Kurds who don't like having a country, so therefore they live by no civilian laws. They just kind of do what they want. They like the money that comes in for tourism, but they don't let people stay there for long, so that's why we don't have any definitive answer. There's been many reputable sightings, but nothing definitely that is definitive. Now, could you imagine with me for a moment? How would you like being on the boat for 7.5 months? Now, to me, as soon as that boat came to a rest, that would have been time for me to jump ship. Pardon the fun. And I assume that Noah, because he's a man, he felt the same way. Let me give you this illustration. Last week I was on vacation, and I took my two kids, my wife and my mother, to California. And after about 6 hours in a car. Y'all know where I'm going with this. You felt the same way. I was ready to jump ship. Now imagine taking all your family pets with you. Now bring all your neighborhood pets. And the weird cat lady who lives down on the end of the block, bring double what she's got in her house. Don't you imagine that he was ready to get off that boat? I mean, that's my assumption. Every single day, Noah wakes up and he begins to look out the window and says, hey, today's got to be the day. But at the same time, he wants to make sure, I've got to know if this is God's will. Because the wrong decision at this time is going to cost me and my family greatly. He had also witnessed how that when you obey God completely, that God always blesses you greatly. So he wants to make real sure, is this the right time for me to get off this boat? Is this the right time for me to go through this door? Because if I go through it at the wrong time, it's going to cost me. So what does Noah teach us that you and I can do during these times of crisis? What do we learn from him about God's will and how to find it out when struggles and problems come our way? Let's go back to verse 6. After another 40 days, are you kidding me? Is 7.5 months not long enough? The first thing that Noah teaches us is that he waited. You got to be kidding me. 7.5 months later, he waits another month. Most of us want God to bless us right away. I mean, the moment I pray, hey, I like it when God answers my prayer right then. And guess what? Sometimes he does. Isn't it awesome when he does? I mean, don't you like it when you pray, Lord, help me, and he helps you in that moment? Happens every day. But that's not usually the way God works. Most of the time, he makes us wait. In fact, we know from reading Scripture, it would be another 5 months before they actually got off the ark. And here's why. Character development always takes time. One of the big differences between how God works and how Satan works is God always works for your long-time benefit. That long-time character development, whereas Satan always works for your short-term, immediate gratification. And one of the things that we learn when raising kids, we learn this real quickly, is that when you give them what they want, right when they want it, it develops immature, spoiled brats. And if you didn't know that, sorry I had to tell you this morning. If you give them what they want when they want it, it actually hurts their long-term growth, maturity, and development. But when you make them wait, that's when they begin to understand, they begin to grow, and they begin to mature. One of the defining characteristics of maturity is knowing the difference between no and not yet. Yes, our children will survive by giving them everything they want as soon as they want it, but it's not what we want for our kids, is it? Just for them to survive? I want my kids to thrive because I know that in life storms are going to come. I know that in life there's going to be moments of crisis. There's going to be moments of tension. Life's going to get difficult for them. And if they are used to getting what they want as soon as they want it, they're not going to know what to do when the flood comes. And they're going to panic. And they're going to make the wrong decision. So Noah said, I'm not going to get off this boat until I know the conditions are right for not only their survival, but they have enough character for them to thrive. Because the calling is too great. And there's too many of us who make bad decisions because we're not waiting on God to do his part. The Bible says the ark came to rest upon the mountains. You know what's interesting, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, is that Noah's name also means rest. So could it be that while we're waiting on God, that God is just simply wanting us to rest in his promises? But you and I have this tendency to be restless instead of restful. And the problem is when we get restless, we begin to take matters into our own hands. And the Bible is filled with men and women who took matters into their own hands only to face catastrophic results. But the reality is we don't have to look to the Bible for proof for that. Many of us sitting in here today, including myself, can testify to the fact that I've made a lot of bad decisions because I didn't wait on God to show up. And I didn't wait for God's timing to come to pass in my life. You see, nothing will develop character more than having to have patience. Jesus' half-brother James said this about patience, and he said this about trials, and said this about tribulations. He said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing." I think you have on your notes there a psalm as well, but I'm going to read Habakkuk 2:3. It says these. It says this: "These things I planned for you, they won't happen right away, but slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient, and they will not be overdue a single day." I like that. You see, every time you make a decision to follow the dream that God has placed in your heart, you can expect, majority of the time, a delay. And when a delay comes, you're naturally going to start getting restless because, let's be honest, we hate to wait. We don't like to wait in a doctor's office. And can I tell you something that I'm going to start doing when I go to the doctor's office? And you guys can just tell me if this is okay. Next time I go into the doctor's office, I'm going to give them an invoice for my time. I'm going to do it. Yeah, what, you think he'll give me a shot that I don't really need or something? You think that's a good idea? I'm going to do it anyway. I'll just tell him. I don't like to wait in traffic jams. I got an instantaneous between my heart, my mind, and my horn. They all go together. I don't like to wait in traffic jams. I don't like to wait at a restaurant. And I certainly don't like to wait on God. And if we're not careful, in these moments, we'll take matters into our own hands and we'll knock down the door of opportunity that God is just using to fulfill the plans and the destiny that he has for your life. And here's what you need to understand in your spiritual growth this morning. A delay is not a denial. You see, learning to wait on God is just another step in building your character so that we can thrive in this harsh world. Learning to wait on God and learn that his timing is perfect develops trust and faith. And one of the things that you and I need to understand today is that God's delay never destroys his destiny for your life. So just because there's a delay doesn't mean that God's not working and that God's still not got big things in store for you. In fact, his delay prepares us for his plans for us. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Second thing he did is he watched. This is so important to learn this lesson today. For all of us who are in here this morning and living in this day and age, we are so fortunate. We have this wonderful book called the Bible. And the Bible is many things. Yes, it's God's, you know, love letter to us. You've heard that. Yes, it is a record of history. But much more than that is the Bible is also written as a compass to guide our life. Psalms 119, 105, David writes, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path." So the Bible is filled with God's will for your life. So we need to get to know his word. And when you get to know his word, you get to know his will for your life. And if you don't know his word, you will end up doing what the world says instead of what his word says. Does that make sense? If you don't know his word, you will do what the world says instead of what his word says. So if you want to know God's will for your life and what to do in this moment, you need to get to know His Word. And God's Word will never, God's will will never contradict His Word. So get to know God's Word and you will get to know God's will. But I know what you're thinking. I'm ahead of you. Pastor, there are certain things that are not plainly spoken of in Scripture. And you know what I say? You're right. But we can learn some lessons from Scripture to teach us what to do in these moments. And Noah is a prime example. You see, there are doors of opportunity. And the doors of opportunity are very plain. We understand. We know what they look like. They're a door. But there are also windows of hope. And here's what is so cool about God. While we're waiting for the door of opportunity to open, God will always give us windows of encouragement, little signs, to point us in the right direction. And windows will always lead us to the door of opportunity. It's a part of that spiritual process. So God doesn't just say, wait, and tough, that's it. He gives us little windows of encouragement to sustain us while we're waiting. So when the door closes, look for a window. Let's go back to verse 6. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. It's interesting. The bird flew back and forth until the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back. So when you are looking for a door and it's closed, and you're trying to look for a window of opportunity, you need to apply the lesson of the raven and the dove. And here's what the raven and the dove is. The raven is a scavenger bird. It only feeds upon the carcasses of dead animals. The raven will eat whatever is in front of it at that moment. And the reason why he never came back, because he just found the biggest buffet that has ever been known to ravens. And the raven is a symbol of our desires. It is, you can choose to do what is best for you at this moment. You can eat whatever is in front of you, and it's going to look tasty. It's going to look good. We know that. It may be what you think you want and satisfy you for a brief moment, but it will always lead to death. On the other hand, there's the dove. The dove symbolizes life and growth. And the dove came back to the ark because the only thing in front of it was death. The only thing in front of it was items that would stagnate its growth in its life. So he comes back. He flew away from what was good for that moment and back to what was best for his long-term health. And here's what you need to know when making a decision. Here's what you need to ask yourself. Will this in front of me, this item, this situation, is it going to lead to life or to death? Is this going to get me closer to God in His plan for my life and in His development for me, or is this going to lead me farther away? Is this going to help me grow, or is this going to hinder my maturity and my spiritual growth? If I take this job, if I date this person, if I buy this house, if I buy this car, is it going to help me or hurt me in the long run? Because every decision that we make today affects our life tomorrow. So even though the door may be closed, look for the moment when God opens up that window to give you that sign of hope. Let me show you what that looks like. Let's read verse 10. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone. Now this is almost getting comical because we're just going to keep adding days. About how patient Noah is. But there's something important in the middle of this passage that we just read. All of us in here today, we know and understand that an olive leaf or an olive branch is an international, it's a worldwide symbol of peace. So God is opening up the window for Noah to see that in the midst of any type of flood, that in the midst of any type of crisis or struggle that you are facing, you can find His will. And when you're getting restless and when you're getting anxious, you can still find His peace if you just look for it. Now, here's what's important. The dove didn't come back with an olive branch. The dove didn't come back with an olive tree. That would be silly. The only thing that the dove came back with was an olive leaf. An olive leaf is all you need. But a leaf is also very easy to miss. I wonder how many of you are missing the leaves of God's peace because you're looking for a tree? Are you looking for a branch to hit you upside the head? When God's got an olive leaf right there in front of you to give you peace, to give you encouragement. Let's read on, verse 12. He waited another 7 days. Are you seriously kidding me? And then released the dove again. This time the dove did not come back. Now Noah was still a young whippersnapper. He's only 601 years old. And on the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the floodwaters have almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw the surface of the ground was drying. You serious? 2 more months went by, and at last, the earth was dry. So he waits another week. He sends the dove back. This time, the dove, it found some life. It found some growth, so it doesn't come back. But the time wasn't yet. It would be 2 more months before the time finally came. Let me do the math for you. 370 days after he got on the ark was now the time to get off the ark. Are you kidding me? Let's read on. Then God said to Noah, "Leave the boat. All of you, your wife and your wife, you and your wife, your sons and their wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and the small animals that scurry along the ground so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth." So Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives left the boat, and all of the large and small animals and the birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. Here's what he did. This is number three. He walked. It finally happens. Noah, today is the day. Noah, you have been waiting long enough. Noah, the door of opportunity is now open for you. And I promise you, the same will be true for you in your life. There will come a moment in your life when God says, "Hey, I'm opening up the door for you. Now I'm requiring you to walk through that door." And let me tell you something. In that moment, when you have been waiting on God to show up and show off your life for a long time, a month, year, or year after year, you're going to be a little bit scared. And you're going to be a little bit hesitant. And you're going to ask yourself, but there's fears. Is this really what God wants me? And I want to tell you something right now. If you wait until your fears go away, you're going to wait a lifetime. But the moment that you step out in faith, everything changes. Activity always brings confidence and courage, while inactivity always brings doubts and fears. So I'm going to tell you something right now. When you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's opened up a door of opportunity in front of you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to kick that door down, because God's saying as long as you sit there and are afraid, you'll never do anything. But the moment you step out in faith, I'm going to show up and show off in your life like you've never seen before. So kick the door down. And when you do, your life will never be the same, because there's only one thing left to do. And that's exactly what he did. But before we get to the remainder of this passage, I'm going to set the scene up for you. When you're in a storm, or you're in a flood, or you're in some sort of crisis in your life, and you're having to wait 370 days on the boat with your wife who's saying every single day, "I told you so." And your kids are asking, "Are we there yet?" That produces an incredible amount of pressure in your life. And none of us like pressure. But what we fail to realize is God uses pressure to create power, because power determines potential. You see, what I got here is a little water gun. I like this little water gun. Vern, I'm going to get you right there, bud. The problem with this little water gun is it doesn't really create a lot of pressure. Therefore, it has a small amount of power. God doesn't use little water guns. God doesn't work that way. Let me show you what God uses. Oh, y'all know what's coming, huh? I ain't messing around today. For Noah to fulfill the powerful calling that God had placed upon his life, he needed to go through an incredible amount of pressure. And to fulfill the calling that God wanted him to do, he needed an incredible amount of power. Because pressure creates power, and power determines potential. Y'all don't think I would really do this, do you? So could it be that while we're waiting on God, God is waiting on us, because he wants the pressure to create a little bit of power, because that power determines the type of potential that you need for God to do something in your life. So when I'm telling you, when the pressure's on, look for that little window of hope, because God's power is getting ready to start coming. And when God's power shows up, here's what you need to know. The world, they can teach you how to cope with pressure, but the world can't teach you how to convert that pressure. Only God can teach you how to take that pressure and turn it into his power. So when that happens, there's only one thing left to do. Read the remainder of the passage. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and the birds that had been improved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with that aroma of the sacrifice, and he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or everything they imagine is bent towards evil from their childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So do you know what Noah did? He stepped off that boat and he started worshiping. Listen, I know there are some of you right now who are going through a flood. And it's been going on for a long time. I'm not making trivial. I'm not making light of that. And right now at this moment, it is easy to think that God has forgotten you. God may have brought you here today at this moment to tell you, I haven't forgotten you. I know your name. I know who you are. He's not saying no. He's just saying not yet. I know what you're facing, but I've still got a new direction, and I've got a new destiny for your life. Do you know in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, it says that God's the one that shut the door? And you know why he shut that door? To protect him and to prepare him so that he could convert that pressure for the power that he was going to need to fulfill God's plans for his life. And there's some of you here right now, and this is the only window of hope you've seen in a long, long time. And God's telling you, hold on, be patient, because it's coming, and I'm going to move in your life. And when that happens, there's only one thing left for us to do, and it's worship. Instead of being flooded with doubts and fears, why don't we flood our minds and thoughts with God's wonder and awe? Everything we want, everything we need is found in him. God, give us a greater glimpse of you. Stand and worship with me.